This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. We're halfway through the first proper working week of January. Something going on in the sky this morning. There was a huge thunderstorm yesterday afternoon. Did you experience that?
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Where was... Oh, right. I remember. Yeah.
I was in the car on my way back from the shops, and it just came down like buckets and buckets and buckets of water.
Oh.
Mm. Well, it's fantastic. I like that. I mean, people lose their minds in the traffic, but it was beautiful to see.
But I know we've been living on this earth for quite a while now, but...
people are completely perplexed when it rains.
But when the sky does this like shudder thing and then your entire building shakes...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening up there if that's what's happening down here?
Oh.
And it all comes from the sky. Like, I get earth tremors and fault lines, that kind of stuff.
Now you know why people thought, like, the gods would be angry with them. And in the old days, they thought that when lightning and thunder came along, it was one of the gods was pissed off.
So people have been masturbating furiously since New Year's, because yesterday there was a lot of grumbling. The gods were...
Cross.
They were stamping their feet.
Imagine how freaked out you were back in those days, because you didn't know any better. You're like, are we dying right now? Is it the end of times? Oh, okay. In an hour, it's all over. Never mind.
No, but it is quite something. People were absolutely shit scared. And like dickheads like Christopher Columbus used to take advantage of this. So he would go to these places where people had never seen white people before.
Mm-hmm.
And would say, you will give us everything or the gods will be upset.
And people are like, sure, take what you want.
And they're like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? It's like, right, on the day of the moon, if it turns red... Mm-hmm. Then you bitches have not done what I've said, and I am God. And
well,
like,
he knew that
there's a blood moon coming,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this guy's right. He's actually a god. The moon's red.
Do you know what, Ben? In your words, he was a dickhead.
Yeah, he
really was.
Totally. But he was manipulative like all those other guys in those days.
That's quite
something. But like early weather, before we knew what early weather was, must have been absolutely frightening. It still is frightening, but you have no idea what it is.
So there was this big storm yesterday, and then this morning... It was magnificent. The sky was pink. I'm talking about 5 a.m.
Whoa.
Yeah, because I left early this morning for some ungodly reason.
It's called professionalism, Gareth, and that's you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to get this year off to a good start.
Look at you, 2019.
Look at you. So I was driving along, and it looked really, really amazing. It was beautiful. It was this pink, blue... I've never seen a color like that in the early morning before.
Wow.
And if I have, I've forgotten. So it just looked magnificent to me. It was this clear, gorgeous, clear, beautiful, clean, washed out sky.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of rain.
All the nonsense had been washed out of the sky, and it looked fantastic.
Well, in the words of the great Professor Block, you're reminding us to look up.
Look up. Yeah, correct.
But I almost feel because this year is an election year, the gods are trying so hard to cleanse us early on with all this rain.
Oh, because they know there's shit coming,
because
right?
The gods know this is a dirty shit mm-hmm. year.
Then can we get a bit more rain at this point? Because they need to be hard at work.
I haven't seen the sun since like the 28th of December properly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we called it onto our own yesterday because I was with a couple of people who mentioned, oh, it's an election year, is coming up. And we saw the first video of the president out in a church dancing and singing along with people.
Oh, yeah.
Good year to have a baby. He's going to get kissed by someone.
And then afterwards, what is her name? The lady. She's also in the ANC, and she tweeted, oh, look at us, we are working, but in isiZulu. And most of the replies were,
as opposed to?
Hi, we don't have water here. Hi, we're still sick. So what are you guys working on exactly?
Well,
oh, no, we don't have this.
Yeah, but they don't read that stuff.
Well, is there any difference between those assholes in the political parties and those preachers who lie?
Absolutely,
you know,
nothing.
Like Pat Robertson, our favorite. I mean, here he is. He beat up this hurricane, he says, with his Bible and his prayers. Listen to this.
Hurricane, you know, veers off and goes up into the Atlantic. It'll be harmless. No lives will be lost. No property will be damaged. What could be a multi-billion dollar property damage will be averted. And I just believe you and I together. The Bible says where two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they will ask, it'll be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Huh? Now, this is the same Jesus who commanded the wind and the waves when he was out on the Sea of Galilee. He said, peace be still.
Yeah.
And they said, what manner of man is this? The wind and the waves obey him. They will obey our voice if we are together with one accord.
So, Ben, this is what you needed yesterday when you were worried about the God stamping their feet. You needed to pray. You needed to get two or more people, that's according to Pat, and say some boogity boogity words. Do you want to hear what the boogity boogity words are?
Wait, just hang on a sec. Mm-hmm. But Pat, who's sending the hurricane?
Yeah, well, this is what Pat leaves out.
Unfortunately, there's always a problem
it's
in your
Satan,
story.
Satan, I tell you!
Okay, yeah. Is it right?
It's got to be Satan! Satan's so powerful when these guys want him to be, and then other times he's just, you can like get rid of him with words.
Yeah, or like a positive
peace
thought.
Yeah.
But here he is in like...
I mean, this Satan, they take him hugely seriously when they need to blame him for some awful shit that's happened. But but when you want to get rid of him, you just go boogity, boogity, boogity. You say some words and then like he's gone.
You know? Or you donate to Pat Robinson.
Oh,
that's the most powerful of all the powers.
I'm telling you.
So listen, here's what
wonders.
He does. Now, remember, this is that hurricane last year that he wanted to chase away, right?
Now, together, I'm asking all of us to believe God. I don't want that thing to come in. I don't want it to hurt Region. I don't want it to hurt CBN. I don't want it to tear up these beautiful campuses.
You see, he's asking people to help chase the hurricane. He doesn't mind if it goes and damages other people's property.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
He doesn't want it. CBN, his network, his Christian broadcast network.
Mustn't touch that.
Don't touch that.
Deserves a hurricane.
My beautiful campus, he says. Or my house, or this region that I live in. But I don't mind if it ruins everyone else's life. I don't care. If you happen to be in this congregation and you live 2 miles east of here, too bad.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to tear these trees down. I don't want to see any damage.
Uh-huh.
I don't want a bunch of glass flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want all over this area that's counting on us to pray for them.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you right now, put your hand out toward the Atlantic, wherever it is, and let's speak a word right
sorry,
now.
I'm sorry.
Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you Hurricane Florence, we speak to you in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And we command the storm to cease its forward motion and go harmlessly into the Atlantic. Go up north, away from land, and veer off in the name of Jesus.
Go away.
We declare in the name of the Lord that you shall go no farther. You shall do no damage in this area. We declare a shield of protection all over Tidewater. And we declare a shield of protection over those innocent people in the path of this hurricane. In Jesus' holy name, be out to sea.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
Did it work? Well, no, because Hurricane Florence continued to go exactly the way that the storm was predicted to go, and Pat Robertson's prayer made no difference.
Well, that's the first.
I know. He must have been so disappointed.
I mean, Pat's strike rate's not very good.
But you see, this is the nice thing for Pat, because when it doesn't go his way, all he does is say to people, that was God's will.
It was God's will.
Mm-hmm. So then he's covered by that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he called it a big blowy storm. He said, go away, big blowy storm. Yeah.
So I am a CEO, as of course you all know. CEO stands for Christmas and Easter only person.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, yes. Yeah, but you bet that's okay. I mean, listen, I suppose I'm nominally, people would say I'm a Christian because I celebrate those as well.
Mm.
But I like the celebrations.
Yeah, I really do. I get swept up in the whole Christmas and Easter spirit.
Me too.
And I went to this massive church for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, that was a full-blown Vegas production.
Not the one down the road here with the they've got a stage and
one
a
next to the highway.
Yes, yes.
The one next to the highway.
No, it's in Sandton. Mm.
It's called what, Rivers?
Oh, yes. That Rivers one. Oh, right.
Have you seen how massive that is?
Have you seen how quickly that was built?
They're like, building another one, like people, on the other side of town. Like
people, gotta spend that money.
People in Qatar can't even get buildings built that quickly. That's when you know these guys got cash.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really always try to go with that open heart, and I'm really being grateful, and I'm praying.
Yeah, of course. But people are volunteering their money. They want the church to have the resources they need to build more facilities, etc. And good.
But let me just set the scene of what I walked into for the Christmas service.
All right.
There's a massive screen that has one of those old school New York buildings projected on it.
Yeah.
So one of those brick buildings.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden from the top, you know, those window washers and that contraption that they use?
Yeah.
From the top of the ceiling, Lloyd Cele starts... Guys, it's ridiculous.
Is he a preacher there?
No, he was performing. Oh. Lloyd Cele starts coming down on one of those window washer contraptions, and he is singing Christmas Carol. I am like, wow. I'm here for this party.
It's a good show.
Wait, hang on a second. How much did it cost you to get in? What was the admin? What was the cover charge?
Cover charge.
There was no cover charge.
You could be surprised, though.
And okay. Did you have to make a donation?
How much did the show get out for on the tray?
The offering was available in various forms. You could snap scan. There was an EFT.
And in different currencies
snap
as well.
Snap scan, an EFC, PayPal?
EFT, you can. There were envelopes for you to offer the offering as well in cold, hard cash.
But now, did your offering depend on where you sit? Like, did you get Golden Circle?
No,
Ben. Like, is it like Golden Pew? I mean, what's the terminology here?
No, Ben.
Golden pew.
But, you know, I don't know. Some people might follow the give 10% of what you earn
EFT, rule. Huh?
So Lloyd comes down from the ceiling, performs this song as a window washer. Then he changes an outfit into this red Christmas and festive blazer. So
it's a real show.
It was a show.
Good.
I actually filmed footage from it because I couldn't believe it. I needed to share it with people. Were
you allowed to?
They actually condone it. The church has social media accounts in Alice.
Well, I suppose if someone saw it on social media, it might make them want to go. So
as it did for me.
Or make them believe.
It's a recruiting tool. Hey, good for them. They put on a good show.
My goodness. The cherry on top was after six songs, a massive bedazzled silver star came from... the top of the building as well, came down to the stage and then started floating over the audience. I'm like,
I saw that once in a Madonna show.
I swear, very impressive. This is something like Katy Perry could be using in 2 seconds. So this is not your grandmother's church. This is what Pat Robinson is doing
good
very soon. But
well, there's a lot of these churches. They spend a lot of money on entertainment.
Absolutely.
I'm on at Rivers Church on Twitter.
What do you see?
I'm seeing a stage.
Ben, it's a concert, Papa.
This is a concert stage, Gareth. I mean, in your days of doing the finale of Idols, nothing on this set. Jeepers, that's a rig.
It's good, huh?
Wow.
They do what they do, and they do it well.
Jesus at Night, I give it all to you.
I'm here for
that. The name of the song, or is that the name of the group?
Possibly both.
Wow.
Ben, I don't know.
Hey, I saw Bird Box last night.
Oh.
I watched Bird Box.
So, okay, this is a movie, right?
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock, Netflix movie, yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, you might want to see it. It's good. I wouldn't say it's brilliant. It's good. It's not scary. I mean, I wasn't at any stage in the movie frightened. And I thought I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like scary movies, but I thought this one might be scary. It wasn't.
Did it live up to the hype?
Two things that really annoy me about this movie. Number one... you don't ever see the monster.
Yeah, but a lot of the monsters are in the head, though, Gareth.
Well, they don't explain anything to do with this creature, this thing that... What happens is, as we discussed the other day, people, if you see the thing, this apparition, this entity, if you see it and you look at it, it makes you want to commit suicide, which you do immediately. So this one chick, Sandra Bullock's sister in the thing, she's driving and she sees the thing and then... they get this terrified, sad look in their eyes, and then they would do whatever they have to get themselves killed. They'll run through a window and fall from the top of a building, or they'll stab themselves in the neck, or whatever they have to do, but they try to kill themselves, right? They don't explain what... I'd like to understand. By the end of the movie, I thought, 130 minutes, 120 minutes, they'll tell me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you any explanation. They don't show you the monster. It's just this wind that comes, and there are these noises, and there are these shadows, but you never see the thing. Drives me crazy.
So it didn't work in a nice, dramatic way.
Show me a monster. Am I wrong? Am I an idiot? Am I a child? Show me a monster.
Sometimes you can leave things to imagination, I think.
Yeah, to the explanation that I've been hearing from people, I thought that was adding to the plot and the intrigue of the movie.
No!
Okay.
I want a monster. But is that too much to ask?
But that's the whole thing which makes going back to Satan so scary, is you never see Satan. The church plays the whole Bird Box theory on you, that you think about it and it's this terrible thing. And if you were to see it, you'd probably go, expected something scarier, and therefore the illusion goes away.
I know, but I don't want... I don't want to use imagination. I want you to do it for me. Oh. That is why we live in 2019. That's why you don't have to read Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings. They do it for you.
Look, I felt the same way when Denise Richards wasn't naked in Starship Troopers. My girlfriend conned me into it, and it was a lie. Movie
did you
ended.
Watch it recently, or did you watch it a long time ago?
Like 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good movie.
She told me that she was naked, and I was like, yeah, let's watch the movie, and then it didn't happen. So, yeah, I felt like you felt maybe.
When last did I hear that name?
Denise Richards. Starship Troopers is one of my favorite movies.
Great movie.
It's a great movie.
And what's the
Neil Patrick Harris.
The main actor's name?
Casper Van Dien.
Yeah. What?
Wow.
Yeah,
look it up. Look up Starship Troopers. What a great
movie.
From
1997.
Yes. Yeah, beautiful
but
movie.
Denise Richards isn't naked in it.
You get a bit of side boob. Mm. You get a bit of side boob in it. She's very sexy in that movie, though.
Where are all of these people?
They probably...
Well, they're old.
The entire cast.
Well, Neil Patrick Harris is still around.
He's the most relevant, I'd say.
We all have this disease called age. And the more we have it, the less people want to see us.
I love the way how when someone's famous once, everybody expects him to keep being famous forever. And then sometimes not. Like, where's Jack Nicholson now?
Old.
When last did you see him? He doesn't pitch up. He doesn't go to award ceremonies and stuff anymore. He doesn't care. Now, you would say, Jack Nicholson, what a has-been. Please. The guy was one of the greatest actors of all time.
He's 81 now. I mean, 81.
What does he want to appear so that you can know where he is? He doesn't care what you think of him. He's out enjoying his life. For all you know, he's sleeping with a 25-year-old right now.
I wouldn't put it past him.
He's 81. Money on he's just trying to pee at this moment.
Or stop peeing.
Oh! He looks like a good 81, though.
Eh.
Oedipus.
No, but I mean...
Bob De Niro is 75.
Right. I saw him last year, remember? Yeah. Went to that show in New York.
Oh, yeah, and he got a divorce last year.
Bob De Niro?
Yeah.
Al Pacino is 78.
After like 20 plus years.
78!
78.
78, huh?
He's never lost that tan.
Well, Clint Eastwood's 88.
Yeah, Jesus. Clint Eastwood's 88?
Yeah, but he looks every day of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's also 81. That's Deadpool. I think this is the year of the Deadpool, people.
Do you really think so?
Well, last year was so anticlimactic.
Yeah, do you remember that email that we got towards the end of last year? Someone saying your Deadpool's not working because you're not getting enough deaths. And Kirk Douglas is still alive.
Well, Kirk Douglas can't actually die.
Seemingly so. So someone said you've got to change it from a Deadpool to a scandal pool. It's like, who will be scandalized next?
Okay, I'll put that together today.
Who would have guessed Kevin Spacey, R. Kelly? We're starting the year with them.
The scandal
pool. Kevin Hart.
Scandal pool's really good. I like that. I'll put that together today and we'll release it on Friday.
So I've got to play you a clip from the Golden Globes because it was so boring. No one's talking about the Golden Globes, right?
I really didn't know it was on until CS said that Rami Malek won.
Yeah, well, that's why I was interested in it on Monday. But let me play you this clip quickly, because it is so fucking boring. And you know why?
Why?
Because everyone in Hollywood is so scared of saying something politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all like going to turn on each other. It's like the, those villages in the 1600s where people would be terrified of being called a witch, so they would call someone else.
Maybe The Crucible.
That's right. So they would call someone else a witch.
Oh, yes.
So that person would be hanged instead of them or burnt at the stake or whatever. So this is what's happening in Hollywood now. They're all so shit scared of being the next bad guy, the next Kevin Hart, the next Harvey Weinstein, the next whoever you are, that they no one first of all wants to host these shows because it's a zero. There's no upshot.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Right. So no one wants to get involved in hosting these shows. No one wants to be the one who takes the risk with a joke. So, of course, nothing's funny in 2019. And Hollywood has got a major, major problem. So they had these two hosts that nobody knew. Andy Samberg. I mean, we kind of know him, let me be fair. And what was her name?
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh. Who She's the hell from, is that?
Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is she funny?
Well, no, of course not.
Right. Okay,
this
so here
is her
it is.
First time. I actually enjoyed her. Shame.
Right.
Welcome to the 2019 Golden Globe Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I remember her. Very unattractive.
We are going to have some fun, give out some awards, and one lucky audience member
will host the Oscars.
So far it's so unfunny and it gets worse. I could barely.
I'd already zoned out.
I made it through 3 minutes. Guys. But you get these two, and you could see they're just so nervous that someone is going to say something, and they're going to turn on them, and the audience is going to call them out on political incorrectness, and they can't do. So here's what you can't do: you can't do jokes about race, you can't do jokes about gender, you can't do jokes about transgender. You can't do jokes about sex because of the whole Me Too thing. So what are you left to joke with?
Or you can't really do politics at all now.
Politics is impossible.
Well, no, you can, but you have to be anti-Trump.
Right, so that's predictable as all hell.
Yeah.
But listen, tell me, do you want to do a minute of this and see if we can stomach it?
Yeah, let's give it a go. Okay. We've got a minute for the news.
Yeah.
Now, some of you may be wondering why the two of us are hosting together.
And the reason is we're the only two people left in Hollywood who haven't gotten in trouble for saying something offensive.
Oh.
Right. And they don't know how true that is, right? Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg. Two people who were probably number 437 and 576 on the list of people you want to host your show. Or to MC your party or whatever. But that's how bad it's gotten in Hollywood now. Because numbers 1 through to 400 won't touch these things. Won't get involved. And these guys probably got paid so little money to do this as well. In fact, they probably did it for free.
Yeah, I've heard that even with big shows, the Golden Globes, the Emmys, the Oscars, the payday isn't actually that big.
No, it's the honor. It's the prestige.
Well, not anymore because no one's watching. So the audience ratings are low.
Don't tell them that.
Okay, yeah.
Sandra, that reminds me. You know what race of people really gets under my skin?
Andy?
The Hollywood half marathon. Yeah. Because it messes up all the traffic, you know?
Oh, yeah. I hate that race of people.
It's the worst race of people.
Ugh.
Now, we know what you guys are thinking. Ugh. Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh, the two nicest people in showbiz, this thing's going to be a snooze.
But not so fast. Because you fools are all about to get roasted.
Gervais style. Mm-hmm. Hope you're wearing your flip-flops, Hollywood, because we're about to scorch some earth.
Damn right. Rip it, Andy.
All right, who we got? Who we got? Well, if it isn't Spike Lee. Yeah. Mr. Do the Right Thing. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who does the right thing. You, as a director, lifetime fan, can't wait to see what you do next. Bam, face.
Brutal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is painful.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just so horrible because you can't joke about anything or anyone anymore. Fucking Hollywood.
I just don't understand why they're going down this road, though. You see,
because they've been trapped by their own political correctness here. There's no option.
But I think there is. If they go back to the Whoopi Goldberg or Billy Crystal
they
thing.
They won't do it.
Like these slapsticky.
Yes, it needs.
Or like a Hugh Jackman or Neil Patrick Harris to come in and do a song. No. Don't try to be funny because you know that's not going to work for you.
It needs to be cleansed by Ricky Gervais. Basically, go out there, pull his cock out and say, you're all a bunch of.
Ricky Gervais was good those 2 years he did it.
But that's the thing. And like people were so horrified. But he needs to go and cleanse Hollywood. Give them all a big slap of reality and carry on with it.
And let's remind ourselves, because this always comes up at awards season time, the Hollywood elite is so, they're so up their own backsides, right? They can't take a joke about themselves anymore, which just shows you that it's time for them to fall. And they have no sense of humor anymore. Everything's political. It's just very, very disappointing. And these are a bunch of spoilt actors. That's who they are. So anyway, I just thought I'd play that for you, let you make your own mind up about the Golden Globes. Boring as hell. You didn't miss a damn thing.
Yeah, they're 2 hours and 33 minutes long.
Yeah.
I've recorded it and I just only made it through that bit, the monologue.
And then you were already out, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the news stories today. Bladen Zimande has been blaming cable theft for a terrible situation, a train crash in Pretoria. Did you hear about this?
Oh, horrific. Head-on collision.
Correct. So what happened was the trains were both traveling on the same line towards Pretoria from Mabopane. They collided at Mountain View Station, northeast of Pretoria. The trains are transporting more than 800 passengers. More than 300 commuters were left injured and transported to different hospitals around the area. 300 people injured? Zimande said cable theft results in the malfunctioning of the signaling system, which forces train operators to switch to manual authorization, which then leads to miscommunication. We've had trains since 1820 in the world. You know that.
Wow.
And a train accident is a rare thing. But clearly not in South Africa. We don't seem to have a system for when it's not working. We, as Blade says, if the automated system doesn't work because of the cable theft, which, by the way, is outrageous that anyone should be stealing cables from our national infrastructure. Why these people aren't arrested and locked up for life? Because that's murder. What if someone dies in a train accident because you've stolen a cable? That is directly... there's a causal link between that person's death and your theft. Should be locked up, right? Mm. And we know who these people are. Everybody knows. You go to the scrap metal dealers and you'll see the cables that were stolen. So it's not hard to find out who's responsible and to have these people arrested, from the bottom guy who actually steals the stuff to the guy at the top who's selling it for scrap metal. Arrest the lot of them. But our government is... totally useless. There was a story in the news yesterday. The police have basically admitted that if you're in trouble, they can't help you.
What?
Well, let me read this. This is an actual quote from a police spokesperson, so I don't give anybody false information. So basically, you know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about firearms, and not so long ago, we had a guy on the show who was talking about firearms. So Kehla Sithole, who's the National Police Commissioner, reporting to Parliament, said this. Due to the collapse of the National Crime Prevention Strategy, the SAPS became an all-purpose agency with an overstretched mandate it is impossible to fulfill. I want to repeat, the SAPS mandate is overstretched and impossible to fill. So that is, from my point of view, a great reason for every South African to be armed, because no one's coming to save you.
Well, that Global Citizen thing was a prime example of this.
Right.
They were too stretched. They had to have 700 people driving Cyril home.
Uh-huh.
And all the people got attacked outside.
Right. So what you need,
there it is.
I'm sorry, everybody. You need to get your own gun and defend yourself.
That is slightly scary.
Well, get your own gun, learn how to use it, and defend yourself.
Absolutely. But you, in order to get a legal gun, you need to do the competence tests and go to the shooting range and get your certificate. And trust me, I've gone through the whole thing. Mm. I've got a legal firearm. Get yourself a gun, because no one's going to come to help you. Someone breaks into your house, you are going to be the victim, because that person who's breaking in probably has a gun.
Yeah.
So I've always said this. It's better to have a gun and not need one than to need a gun and not have one.
So Charlton Heston said that originally, but yeah, it's a good point.
Do you like go out and practice every now and then?
I do. I go to the shooting range, yeah.
How often?
6 months.
Okay.
It's not enough, Gareth.
Probably not.
You need to be sharper.
Probably not.
Says you, Ben.
All right, and then another story. You know the Dross rapist, right? You remember that horrible, horrible human being who raped that child?
He pled insanity, or?
Well, in November, the rape case was postponed to January 16th with an undertaking the man would be brought to court earlier if a bed becomes available at Westkoppie's psychiatric hospital in Pretoria. On Tuesday, the Tshwane Metro Police Department issued an advisory warning motorists about street closures expected around the court due to protests, which have characterized the man's court appearances. So protests are expected in the CBD today when a man accused of raping a 7-year-old girl in the Dross restaurant returns to the Pretoria Magistrates Court. Yeah, I got to ask something.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to happen here? We want this guy to go to jail, right?
Yeah. Or we want to take him away from society.
Right. Now, the best way for that to happen and the only way for that to happen is for the court to be allowed to do its job.
Yes.
Without interruption or distraction. So how's your protest going to help that? It's not. Plus, who are you protesting against? Every sensible South African is on your side if you're against the Dross rapist. So who are you protesting? Who's your complaint with? The Dross rapist? Well, clearly he's insane. He's raping children. Do you really think he's going to react and respond to some group of people chanting in the street? Who are you protesting against? Did you think this through? What do you want with your protest? What's the result of your protest? Or are you just indignant and outraged? So what? Show me a person who cares.
I think about that.
Can someone explain this to me? I'd love to have an explanation. Why would anyone join the protest against the Dross rapist? We know you're against the Dross rapist. All sensible people are. So what do you want to achieve? All you're going to do is have roads closed around the court. You're going to create consternation. You're probably going to delay proceedings because there's going to be noise. And the court's going to have to deploy extra people. And the judge might arrive late because of the traffic problems. And, you know, all kinds of things might happen that actually get in the way of this trial.
Mm.
So are you helping or are you hindering? You're hindering. Go to work. Do what you would normally do. We know you don't like the Dross rapist. I don't know anyone who does. Have you met anybody who goes, I'm on the side of the Dross rapist, that's me?
Not yet.
Right. So who are you and who cares that you're protesting? And what are you doing there? It's obvious that you should be against this dude. We don't need you to go and take a whole day off work and go and spend it clogging up the streets and getting in the way of the court starting on time. Stop it. Am I wrong?
No. I think when you put it that way, it really does seem like protesting is always the first step for so many people.
I think they're unemployed and they're bored, and that protest gives them something to do. Honestly, I'm trying to be as generous as I can here. I can't find a way to make sense of this. It doesn't make sense to me. Seems like a total waste of time.
It might be a stretch of a similar idea, but I was watching Kevin Hart's interview on Ellen. I gave it a chance to listen to him explaining his side of things. And he was touching on similar things, saying, I don't know what people want from me because I said what I said. Mm-hmm. I owned the fact that I said things that were unkind. I have apologized.
Right.
I have learned from what I've said. And to prove as well that, you know, the best apologies change behavior. These things were said 10 years ago. So 10 years later, I still don't know what people want.
What do you want from me?
Because I've apologized.
No one will answer, right?
I have changed my behavior. I've moved on. I don't say those things anymore. So what do you want? When do we, you know?
No, people just want to be outraged.
Mm.
It's all about them and their feelings. Well, I've got bad news for you. Nobody cares. In Rustenburg, a guy who was torn apart. Sorry.
Was what?
By wolves?
No, he wasn't. Sorry.
Did he have his limbs ripped off?
I got that wrong. Sorry, I'm reading like an idiot. A man who was one of six awaiting trial prisoners who escaped from lawful custody at the Hartbeespoort Dam police station was rearrested while he was attempting to skip the country. Yes. Charles Chauke was rearrested on Monday through an intelligence-driven operation. He was arrested in a taxi on the N4 road between Rustenburg and Marikana. taxi was en route to Mozambique and he was going to escape. That was his plan. And they caught him and they rearrested him. So well done to the police in that respect.
That's some good news.
Not completely useless. Well done to the popo. Then two people are in a critical condition after a Joburg shooting incident. Did you hear about this one? It took place on Avalon Road in Modderfontein. According to ER24, paramedics arrived on the scene to find numerous local authorities already on site. Two men were left in a critical condition following the shooting incident with local authorities. ER24's Russell Mayring said, paramedics found one man lying in the road with a gunshot wound to his head, while a second man was found on a nearby embankment with a gunshot to his chest.
Shucks.
Both patients were provided with the advanced life support that they could give and deploy, and transported to nearby hospitals for further treatment. The events surrounding the incident are still unknown, but local authorities are on the scene for further investigations. Well, it was in Modderfontein. It was on the East Rand. That should be all the explanation you need.
You're unsurprised.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, if it's on the East Rand and there are guns involved, what are you asking? I mean, it's what happens on the East Rand.
Just another day in the East. Yeah.
That's like if you go to the aquarium, you see fish. Go to the petting zoo, you see farm animals. You go to the East Rand, you see shootings. What are you? Why are you guys surprised? Come on. What are you, children?
It's just another day in the East Rand.
And then in Port Elizabeth, the Directorate of Priority Crime. Wow, we're doing a lot of crom this morning. Yeah? Lots of crom. They said they have seized cocaine coming in from Brazil with a street value of 720 million rand. In the docks in PE.
Wow.
The bust was made at the port of Ngora, Kucha Harbour, and netted 706 kilograms of cocaine. The operation took place over a period of 12 days. The cocaine was seized on Monday. At a media briefing on Tuesday, Advocate Godfrey Lebia of the Hawks said the value of the cocaine could build an entire village. He said the cocaine was concealed in the bottom floor of a ship under more than 3,369 containers. They really went to a lot of trouble to hide this stuff, so good for the cops for finding that.
I saw a headline saying this cocaine was sniffed out at the harbor, but who sniffed that out? Like they intelligent would have fallen dolphins?
Down. Yeah. So apparently other role players included the police, crime intelligence, border police, customs, Kucha Port Management, criminal records and dark water ops K9 unit. Because the alleged crime involved more than one country, it fell under the Transnational Organized Crime Department. Nabia said it was an ongoing investigation between authorities in Brazil, India, and Singapore. That's a lot of cocaine, huh?
That's like a bricks bust.
Yeah, it's like a bricks bust.
Yeah.
And they bust you for having bricks of cocaine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of double entendre going on there. So there's the news.
I just want to know, where does that cocaine go now?
Don't they have to destroy it?
Well, you would hope so, yeah. I mean,
please don't let us lose hope in our country.
I just want to know what happens to it. Who's in charge of destroying this cocaine? Can we see a video?
Evidence of it being destroyed?
Can we see, like, I don't know, just a live feed on YouTube or something?
We should watch it being burned.
Because this is something to celebrate, right? This is law enforcement doing its job. So they must amplify this kind of stuff. Let's see it.
Okay.
Because if, I mean, this much money, this much cocaine, it's a thing. It's a real big thing.
Good point.
Or I think some of, really, I'm not an authority. I also have heard that some of it does get kept a very, very small amount for undercover investigations. So if the police
bribe prostitutes information, they give grams out.
But kind of like if you want to go and investigate a cocaine ring and you also want to see
we got some in PE. Just put a form in.
But I don't want to be known as the fake new guy, so I'll keep quiet.
Put a request in for 7 grams of cocaine this weekend.
All right, just before we get to Ben and the sport, Clint from the Val says about Bird Box, it was just Netflix major actress hype, so good marketing. A few confusing memes, if you haven't watched it, that's what I feel made me watch it. The movie was okay, and they left it wide open for a second one. Characters just left. You don't see the monster, and I'm assuming at some point the monster needs to be destroyed. So who knows? Maybe even a trilogy. I see.
Smart.
Clint, good thinking.
Or just imagine the BLF. I mean, it's a similar kind of thing.
Apparently you can see the monster if you do a Google search. They took it out because when Sandra Bullock saw it for the first time, she burst out laughing and couldn't stop. So the director left it for the viewer's imagination instead, which is a better idea. Huh. So apparently they do have some kind of a creature.
Okay.
And if you Google search, okay, I'll do that. I'll do a little Google image search. I won't waste my time reading your guest from yesterday's book. I don't believe enlightened people swear, as it acts as a stumbling block in the moment, causing you to utter it. Just my two cents worth. Couldn't stop laughing at your Cosby impersonation this morning with R. Kelly. Glad you're all back again. Bird Box is watchable, but not worth the hype. The cast put together is very obvious to create tension. Stefan. All right, Stefan, thank you very much.
It was very apt that... Well, actually, we don't know whether it was Bill Cosby or not who called yesterday.
We have no idea.
Yeah, he wanted to remain anonymous.
But it sounded like him.
We have to respect how...
So Bitcoin's at $4,079 and Ethereum at $155. Ben, what's in the sport?
Gareth Essay of basically hosting bugger all sports-wise internationally. Hmm. Porridge Harrington's the new European Ryder Cup captain guy. And let's look ahead to the SA versus Pakistan test at the Wanderers. Right, so what does this country need? Sorry, it's a very broad question. We need money, okay? We need money. We need foreign money. We need people to come to this country, boost our economies, that kind of stuff. And sports events can do this. We all saw how the Rugby World Cup could have brought money to the country. Cyril went in a scarf, and then they said, no, thanks, we'd rather give it to France. The AFCON, Cameroon couldn't get their shit together, so basically they were going, well, we need to have an AFCON host. Who can do it? Ah, South Africa, you got amazing infrastructure for this. Let's see if you can do it. They got one vote. The rest of Africa hates South Africa so much that it went to the whole CAF voting principle thingy, and they rather chose, like, dangerous, sweaty, dry, hot Egypt with 16 votes than to take it to South Africa. Now, you got to think, does this continent hate us? Yes, yeah. Honestly. Because during the Rugby World Cup voting process, African rugby didn't even vote for South Africa to host it. So... what is it about South Africans that are just hated in this continent? Do we come across as arrogant? Are we seen as shifty? Well, alleged rapist Danny Jordan is heading up this whole thing. Mm. So they probably looked at him and went, yeah, the guy looks shifty as fuck. Let's not award this to South Africa. Yes, they've got a perfect climate. Yes, they've got amazing stadiums. Yes, they've had a Football World Cup, so they know what they're doing. But let's rather go to Egypt. I don't know.
They really hate us.
We've got to ask questions of ourselves. Back in the day, when there was something like, oh, well, AFCON needs a new host, SA will get it. There was that Madiba magic, all that kind of stuff. People have lapped it up in ladlefuls. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, geez, not great in South Africa. One vote. They got all of one vote in this process. 16-1. It wasn't even close. And we thought, yeah, we're a shoo-in for AFCON. It's got to come to us. Nope, Egypt.
God.
Which now means, of course...
And Egypt really is an unsafe, terrible place.
It's not overly great, and it's hot as fuck. Hmm. Simple as that. People talk about Qatar hosting the World Cup next and how horrible that's going to be and how they have to change the months to go to a different sort of climate or a different season. Mm-hmm. But it's not great in Egypt either. And also that now means that Egypt are very much the favourites to win the tournament this year because they'll be hosting it.
Okay.
Simple as that. It'll take place in June 15th to July 13th. In order to get there, Bafana were obviously hoping if they could host it, they don't have to try qualify because they still haven't done that yet. But now, March 22nd, of course, they need to now not lose to, as I love it how it's put here on Sport 24, war-torn Libya.
I mean, war-torn Libya. You've got to...
beat war-torn Libya.
You've got to be so bad to lose to a war-torn country. Imagine anything like with war-torn in the beginning.
Bafana can't really beat too many countries, but let alone the war-torn countries.
Oh,
that'll be a new low. Bafana failed to qualify for AFCON 29 because they didn't do it against war-torn Libya. Anyway, March 22nd, let's still be positive about that. They can still do it and they can still go to Egypt for the AFCON. But no, there'll be no AFCON in 2019. There were rumors going around that the IPL, cricket's biggest money show, could be coming to SA because, well, we all know politics is a dreadful thing, right? The world over. So, I mean, SA has actually hosted the IPL twice in this country. We've had it, in 2009, it took place in South Africa. In 2014, it took place in the UAE for a couple of weeks because of elections. Now, we all know people can't behave around politics, and politicians at the most can't behave. So, India have an election this year. So, people were thinking, well, you know, that could mean that the IPL is coming to SA. No, they were so against coming to SA again because Danny Jordan's alleged rapist. No, sorry, that's the previous story. They were so against coming to SA, they thought, well, you know, screw it. We'll just take our chances with the elections. We don't want to take it anywhere else. We've got to up our game in SA. We've got to find, make the place more attractive to people. It's simple as that. Because if it was such an attractive venue as it used to be for all the sports, people wouldn't take any chance to go, yeah, it'd be nice to go to SA. Let's rather, yeah, let's go there rather. Let's not take any chances at home. But nope.
Jeez.
That's more money that's not coming into this country. How about that for a piss poor negative start to this today's sport? Well, it's on a lighter note. Conor McGregor now wants to try and beat up that young Japanese kid that Floyd Mayweather beat up. Would both of you just please piss off? This is just ridiculous. Floyd Mayweather, much bigger than this Tenshin Nashukawa. I mean, this looked like a Takeshi's Castle episode.
What's his name,
gone
Ben?
Wrong. Tenshin Nashukawa.
Tenshin, so, and porridge from this morning.
Tenshin Nashukawa got into the ring with Floyd Mayweather in a boxing fight, okay? Now, Tenshin is 20, okay? He's a boy, essentially. And you know the fight's a mismatch when Floyd Mayweather comes across Floyd Mayweather comes across as the heavy-hitting slugger. That's yeah. How he's fighting a boy in Japan.
That's terrible. It's child abuse.
It is a borderline child abuse. So Tenshin now says, look, I'll fight Conor McGregor, but it has to be a kickboxing fight. Kickboxing rules. And McGregor's going, yeah, let's do this. I want to go to Tokyo. I want to fight this guy. Yeah.
Mayweather, get over yourself.
Look, it's a news story, guys. I'm bringing it to you. There it is. Conor McGregor wants to fight Tenshin Nashukawa.
Okay.
And but like Tenshin is now saying, well, you've got to be of a certain weight. You've got to play it. It's just stupid. You know, MMA was doing so well. Mixed martial arts was doing so well. All these other things were doing so well. And boxing was floundering. It's not going the other way around. People want to watch boxing again because of things like this. Pretty simple. There's cricket happening this weekend on Friday. If you want to get a drink on in Joburg, the Wanderers, get on down. I think the Wanderers in recent years has been piss poor, really. Like the attendance hasn't been great. The pitches haven't been great. It's time to reclaim the beauty of the Wanderers, reclaim the beauty of Test cricket in this region.
You're a big fan of the Wanderers.
The Wanderers is beautiful, Gareth. To me, it means a lot. It really is. It's obviously Cape Town's the best Test venue in the whole world. It really is. Stick it up your ass, Lords, or anyone else. Newlands is the best Test venue in the world. The Wanderers is probably the greatest ODI venue in the world because it's a beautiful thing and big games happen there. But it's still a fantastic place to go watch Test cricket. So as of this Friday, all of this cleansing political rain is going to be away from us at that stage. So there'll be blazing heat, which means just people having fun in summer. So get on down on Friday. And the pitch, well, it probably will still completely support the Proteas. And why the hell not, says Otis Gibson, in slightly different words, until the ICC, which is the cricket people, until they say there's going to be standardized pitches around the world, the home team will always make the pitch to suit them. It's life, people. Yeah. Let's not have a
part
bitch
of the
about
game.
This. Mickey Arthur's having a bit of a cry, to which Otis then said, look, bitch, Faf du Plessis scored 100 in day two. Your seamers in seamer-friendly conditions only took 4 wickets. So how about just be better at cricket and be less at the bitching about the Test cricket pitches?
Yes.
It's a fair point.
Fair point.
It really is. Australia, they've got about to play Sri Lanka, which is probably a nice even match for them now. And they've dropped Hanscom, both Marshes, and they've pulled in some guy with long hair called Pukowski. Australia. These guys have no hope in cricket anymore. They really do. This Pukowski is apparently the next big hope. He's 20, so he's the same age as Tenshin Nashukawa. He's averaging 49 in first-class cricket right now.
Right.
Yeah. And then finally, Porridge Harrington. He is the new European Ryder Cup captain. Of course, the Ryder Cup is a huge deal, and Europe are really good at it. But they're going to be going to Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, America in 2020.
Yeah.
So what we will know about this is that the fans are going to be extra obnoxious and dreadful. USA. USA.
Right.
And what the course will be, it'll be wet and long and spongy because target golf is what the Americans are really good at. You put a ball that bounces and rolls, they can't play for shit. So that's going to be very much in the US court, so to speak. So Porridge has to find a way of counteracting all those elements. And I think he'll be a great Ryder Cup captain. Firstly, he's Irish, so therefore he's very good at handling his alcohol. And secondly, he's won 3 major championships, so he knows what it takes to be the absolute best. And I think a lot of people do like Porridge. He's been a likable kind of guy over the years. He's not scared to kind of parody himself. And yeah, I think this is good. And this is what makes the Ryder Cup so special, is that the captain is a massive feature. So I'm obviously not playing like in other sports, if you're new to this. He'll be the guy making the picks. He'll be on the walkie-talkie. He'll be getting the guys together. He will be corralling them,
right,
as they say. And that is the Ryder Cup 2020 Whistling Straits. Many, many time major champion and one of South Africa's greatest ever people, Gary Player, has praised the appointment of this, saying that Porridge is a good bloke.
Well, if Gary gives him the go-ahead, then he's got to be a good guy.
Most deserved appointment, and right, he really is. So that is your sport for this Wednesday. More on Friday going into the weekend, where we talk lots about football. Football, football.
Fantastic. All right, thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Let's turn our attention to Sia now. It's time for Said by Sia. What do you have for us today?
Oh, this is so cool. I love people who perform random acts of kindness, because this is what I personally believe. It's not about the actual thing, whether you give something away or it's about the money, it's about how you make people feel. And so there's one particular man in Nigeria who really performs random acts of kindness, which I think are just making people feel so amazing and is really changing lives. So his name is Zeal Akarawai.
Wow, and what a name.
Right? Zeal, first and foremost, Z-E-A-L, Zeal. Zeal Akarawai has what he calls the Angel Project. And this was all recently unearthed through a BBC investigation, because through the Angel Project, he's just been going into hospitals and paying people's hospital bills and leaving. That's sure. It. Just randomly going to do that. I think it's nice, so incredible. Because here's the thing as well, the state of health services in Nigeria, a lot of medical services aren't free, and what they tend to do is, if you are in hospital and you've been treated and are well, they'll still keep you in hospital up until you've paid everything off, which is quite unfortunate when you think about it, if a person really can't afford their services. So that's when the Nigerian financial consultant Zeal decided to step in. He's 40 something years old, and really, he isn't one to toot his own horn. His name and what he does only came out after this BBC investigation. But he'll just walk into hospitals and he'll start speaking to the staff and trying to look for a list of people who are now well but just can't afford to leave. And that's when he just pays their bills. He says he's paid up to like $400 US. When you think about that's like 5,800 rands per person. And he says that for him, it's just about being able to help people out, and he wants nothing in return. He doesn't want to know how the person does afterwards. He doesn't want to know where they live or anything to that sort. For him, it's just about making sure that these people get to leave the hospital and get to move on with their lives.
That's very cool. So he just comes in and pays.
That's all it is. And he doesn't even interact with the patients either. He says he just walks around the hospital to pinpoint people who now are just milling around because they can't leave, and those are the people that he'll pay for. Even with this investigation, though, he didn't want to go on further tooting his own horn, disclosing the number of people that he's helped, nor how much all of this has actually cost him. He says that doesn't matter at all. It's about the people who get to move on with their lives. And I think that is really the essence of a great random act of kindness, being able to make people feel good about themselves, changing lives. And I think that's awesome. If you have some time during the stay, how about you Google him to find out more about him? Zeal Akarawai, aka R-A-I-W-A-I. It's really cool. And that's his advice here for this morning.
I like that name.
And he does actually look quite suave. Look at him. There was like this.
Yeah, nice dude.
Paparazzo snapshots taken of him.
Oh, good for him, huh? What a guy. I haven't done anything like that in my life. I feel like I'm not nearly as good a human being as he is. I feel useless. I've got to up my game, right? Oh my God.
A friend of mine just decided this, and I was like, yeah, it really is being able to do what you can. He was going to register for his studies this year, and he decided to pay for someone else as well, and he left that with, I was like, oh my gosh, you're such
good
a great
people
person.
There are such good people in the world.
And you think about it, whether it's, you know, 2,000 rands or 3,000 rands just to register, that was it. He was like, yeah, I'm leaving this, and yeah, whoever needs it, go ahead and pay for someone else. It's really, really inspiring.
This is CliffCentral.com.